communities work together. I encourage anyone who hasn't been to a meeting in the last couple of years to come yourself. I appreciate that Commissioner Novick has a staff person that's wonderful, and she comes every time, and she's on the grants committee with me. But I think it's important for you to see what happens when you have a meeting that respects everyone who attends, that anyone who speaks a language other than English doesn't feel like an outcast. There are people there to provide translation. There are people sitting with them. The meeting happens efficiently. We rarely spend more than 15 minutes on an issue in our meetings. It is because we have built trust, we have built respect, we have built an appreciation for the staff and the volunteers who came together because the city was absent. In the 5 years that we've worked together, we have built some really strong relationships, and we built those relationships based on spending time in a room with each other. We eat healthy food at each of our meetings. We provide childcare because we believe if you want low-income parents and community members to participate in the governance of this city, we need to remove barriers to make it accessible to those individuals. So we meet at a time that's convenient for the people who work and go to school, and we make sure that whatever things interfere transportation, we go pick up people and bring them to the meeting. We are a model of how government and community should work in the dance of governance in a community. And I got to tell you, I didn't need another meeting when EPAP started and wasn't looking for another government meeting to go to talk about what's wrong with government. But that's my community. I live there. I live in East Portland. And I see the need. I see the neglect. But I also see the dedication of the volunteers, the people that come every single month, no matter what. And I get phone calls sometimes at 9 at night. I had to actually tell Laura not to call me at 9 p.m. because my city business is over at 9 p.m. But Laura Wintergreen is in the office. And many times I am talking to her saying, go home. You can't pay people enough to have their heart. They're committed to working with volunteers in the community to make our community better. And that's why I've been the co-chair of the grant committee for the last 2 years. I've been on a grant committee for 3 years, and I've been participating in meetings for 4 years with EPAP. It works. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Thank you all.
Okay, the next three are David Perry, Muhammad Ali, and Keith Schultz.
Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Okay, David, I guess you're on first.
Great. Afternoon, counselors. My name is David Perry. I'm the program director of Zenger Farm in Southeast Portland and a resident of Mill Park. In my role at Zenger Farm, I've had the opportunity to work with the East Portland Action Plan on many occasions, and I'm here to express Zenger Farm's support of EPAP's transition plan. EPAP's role in East Portland goes far beyond providing grants to organizations like Zenger Farm. Beyond the impacts EPAP has demonstrated through its work, I just want to talk a little bit, as others already have, about some of the intangible results of their efforts. EPAP is easily the most inclusive organization I have ever worked with in my time. The diverse group of people who gather for their meetings and the way each community member's voice is heard is truly a model in cutting-edge governance. They are the central hub around which organizations like Zenger Farm can meet others, connect, and work towards common goals. EPAP truly makes us all more efficient and effective in achieving our missions. It's our belief that ongoing funding for EPAP and the actions laid out in their plan will only improve this already effective organization. For this reason, we urge the council to approve the EPAP transition plan as presented. On behalf of the staff and board of Zenger Farm and the communities we serve, thanks for the opportunity to testify on behalf of the East Portland Action Plan.
Thank you. Mohammed, welcome.
Thank you. My name is Mohammed. I live in East Portland, and I'm here to support EPAP because it is the only office I can walk in and use their space anytime I have community gatherings, community trainings. I work with AICO, African Youth Refugee Community Organization, on volunteer basis. We got grant from EPAP that made us possible to train our youth on issue on civic engagement, leadership, and the gang prevention. With help of EPAP and the coordination they have created for Somali community, we managed to have an opportunity to meet with House Imperial in Portland, Oregon, because you know very well that Somali families are very large and they need housing issues. And there are a number of families that live a unit that rents 1,600 while they're paid like 1,200. So there's this amount of money that they don't have. And housing is a big issue. So we didn't know where to go. So they help us establish a link where we have the officers, the housing representative come to the community, sit with them, listen the problem from the community. And that was very helpful. And we also get a lot of other information regarding what grants is available, regarding what other community meetings are taking place, so that we are in the process of learning how to integrate smoothly into the community and really understand how to overcome those challenges. So the duration I've worked with the community on frontier basis and helping EPUB through this kind of communication was very great, and I hope you guys continue supporting EPUB to be able to reach more people. And it was very amazing, so I really recommend that, and I look forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for your help. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon. I didn't know I was going to be speaking until my name was called. But 4 years ago, I was introduced to an organization that advocates for transit, and I am a transit-dependent person. Through them, I was introduced to East Portland Action Plan, which is so much of a grassroots organization. I mean, like I just heard earlier that there was one paid staff person, and the rest of them are all volunteers. I'm one of them. I will do whatever, you know. I live right east of the East Portland area, but most of my travels and business is done in the eastern part of Portland, and I totally support anything that this organization does to try to make things better for everyone in the East Portland area. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Appreciate your help. Okay.
Next three are Richard Mole, Katie Larcel, and Donita Fry. Then we'll go with Polo Catalani. You left two? Okay. How about David Hampston?
Katie, I think you were first, but since you're a budget advisor, we're going to give you precedence anyway.
Okay. So I was going to testify in my own words, but then I found these words. And these words were spoken by a public official from Portland. And I think this person was talking about East Portland and the East Portland Action Plan. This official was speaking to a group outside of Portland. This is a little bit of a mystery here. And here is what this official said. There are a lot of great neighborhoods in Portland where you can really walk to the farmer's market and go to a local movie theater, and there's a brew pub right down the street, and all those parts that you expect in a great urban neighborhood are there. That's only about half of the neighborhoods in the city. The other half of the neighborhoods are places that were half-baked suburbia when they got annexed to the city, and we're trying to make them complete communities with a local economy in that neighborhood and those kinds of services that you can walk to. And oh yeah, in many cases, there aren't even sidewalks and there's no neighborhood park. So we're spending a lot of effort and time on trying to retrofit those suburban parts of Portland to not be physically identical to the old neighborhoods, that have those ingredients of a complete neighborhood that Portlanders like to see. So does anyone up there recognize those words?
I think I heard those words.
So that was Charlie Hales, and I don't know if you... You probably don't even like this, but your words are out there on the internet. And you were speaking to the urbanophiles. I don't know if that's how you say that.
All right, urbanophile,
the
yes.
The mayor was assured those comments would not leave the road.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we get that kind of assurance in this business all the time.
Right. So anyway, I just thought that that was wonderful to hear those words. And I think of the East Portland Action Plan as a partnership between the city council and East Portland. And of course, you know that we aren't a silent partner, but we are your partners, and we're your partners in making Portland a complete city. And Portland isn't all Portlandia, as the mayor had pointed out, but a city with new Portlander families and struggling high school dropouts and people who have to take the bus and people who don't work in downtown towers. I want you to imagine what the city would be like without East Portland. It would be a little blah, wouldn't it? Perhaps a little bit too much alike. East Portland is an asset to this city. So then I want you to imagine what Portland would be like, what it would be like without the East Portland Action Plan. There would be a lot of public meetings that you guys just would not want to go to. We've provided a bridge because we are your partners. So I want to end with this very eloquent words of Charlie Hales. Well, now I think we have a role to play, maybe against fighting above our weight, but maybe again fighting above our weight. Improving the American paradigm wrong. The richer are always going to get richer, and the 99% are going to keep falling further back behind. I think we can, in our communitarian Portland way, show that no, we're actually capable of thinking about our neighbors, devising economic strategies that lift more people up to a quality of life that some of us already enjoy. And I'd love for that to be the reason for the tours to be coming to Portland in 10 or 20 years from now. And I second that. I would love to have tours in 10 or 20 years coming through East Portland and people pointing out the sidewalks and the parks and people walking along on those sidewalks.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you very much. Richard, I think you're next.
Yes, sir. Mr. Mayor, commissioners, my name is Richard Moley. I live at 146th and Halsey. I just joined the Wilkes Community Group to help with the cleanup. That's all. And I crossed paths with these guys. And I was amazed. I had no idea my neighborhood was so diverse. I've been there 20 years. Things have changed a lot. It could go south. But these guys are involved. I'm amazed at what they're doing. So It goes without saying, I think, that not everybody comes from a culture or a family in which they organize themselves and petition for help. But when will wealthy neighborhoods stop asking for money? You know, when will influential businesses stop asking for help? Never. But these guys, that's not where they're coming from. But they're really doing amazing things. And because I've been involved with it just a little bit, I've got involved with other neighborhood associations and friends and city issues, and I find it fascinating. And so I just came down here to thank the city for doing such a wonderful thing. Because without stuff like this, we could have problems other parts of the country have. It's great. So thank you.
Thank you. David, welcome.
Hi, I'm David Hampston from the Hazelwood Neighborhood Association, and I'm the East Portland representative to the Transportation Budget Advisory Committee. One thing about the EPAP that I find rather special about it was I was laid off roughly about 6.5 years ago from working for the city. I was a low-level technician, mostly in PBOT, partly in BPS. And it was a wonderful opportunity to actually get involved, really get involved with the community by being involved with the Eastport Action Plan. I was able to do the type of planning, because I have a planning background, a planning degree, the type of planning I could never do when I was working for the city. I could actually see things happen, get things funded. And that's been a really big plus with working with EPAP, because we work as a team. I identify things within the PBOT budgets that can be, how should I say it, maneuvered towards helping East Portlands. I get pass it on to Katie here, who's on the City Budget Committee, and then we also pass it on to the various other people who are on the Budget Advisory Committees or have influence within the city. And we basically build a long-term strategy of trying to convince the staff within the various agencies, yourselves as legislators, to actually make those things happen in a way that you would probably do anyway, but maybe 20 years from now, and try to get it done a little bit sooner so that you're actually building up a certain momentum of improvements. So that, you know, it's like working with Adams, you get sidewalk here, and that builds up to $8 million for sidewalks in East Portland and another $8 million in Southwest. And then that generally, as Mark Lear was talking about, you get into the, you know, the federal and state monies for bigger projects, and that kind of builds up a certain momentum. Now that we're into the street fee phase, which I'm a very ardent supporter of, it has really gotten to the point that we are seeing some real progress in East Portland in getting things funded. The real difficulty sometimes, though, is actually getting things implemented. And we're always fearful we'll get another Cully Boulevard. You know, it's in a different district of the city than East Portland, but you know, where they get the money and they sit on it for 11 years. And it's always a concern for us that money will be sat upon. But nevertheless, we are seeing progress, and I want to thank you, all of you, for moving that forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Okay. Next three are Evan Moore, Brian Lockwood, and Adam Cole. And that's all who signed up.
Okay, great. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, is this the appropriate place to sit?
That's fine, Evan. Go ahead.
Microphones. Okay. Soft voice. So my name is Evan Moore, and I am a volunteer with both Bus Riders Unite, which is a membership advocacy group for transit users, and the Community Alliance of Tenants. I just joined the board of directors of the Community Alliance of Tenants because I've had such positive experiences with its work. So EPAP has had a couple of benefits for both of those organizations. One of them is contributing financially to our programming, but the other big part is having such great organizing capacity that we wind up not having to reinvent the wheel when we find that our priorities, transit and housing, take us into East Portland for obvious reasons. And I wanted to tell you just about one of those projects that EPAP has funded. It was an initiative to build tenant power among immigrant and refugee communities in East Portland. Together with the Center for Intercultural Organizing, we received two EPAP grants in 2013 and 2014 to hold multi-language workshops for Burmese, Nepali, and Karen-speaking tenants. All of this took money. The space that we created for building solidarity among different ethnic groups with the same problems, you know, staff time spent sharing critical information about landlord and tenant rights and responsibilities, the translators who made communication possible. And with that money, you know, the tenants who come to these meetings have really built on their resources. They've tackled their repair issues in the apartment complexes. They've traveled to Salem to advocate for themselves. They've shown up to city hearings. It's been a very successful program, and EPAP made it happen. Obviously, that's not going to solve, you know, all the problems that we're seeing, and they're going to continue. We have, you know, existing priorities for, you know, this year and the next year. And if you vote to ensure that EPAP is, you know, funded well ongoing into the future, then that means that we can keep running programs like these that provide the tools that all East Portlanders need to have their say.
Thank you very much, Evan. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners, Brian Lockwood. I've sat in front of you before. Thanks so much for having us again. Appreciate it. I'm going to be nice this time. I had a couple things I wanted to say, because when you guys ask us questions like, boy, about this funding bit, we get worried. or some of us start going, what are we thinking? The East Portland Action Plan is really easy to plug into. It's been wonderful for me to go from the neighborhood level. I was in Sunnyside, but Pellhurst, Gilbert, plug in, be able to do what we need to do, advocate for things that we need. I've been out there 20 years. I'm a sixth-generation Oregonian, so I see some of this really well, some of the issues. But I really appreciate getting some sidewalks out there and looking at Powell Boulevard. Yeah. and a lot of things have been said I'd love to reiterate, but I won't. One of the things Frida Christopher wasn't able to make it today, school board chair, East Portland, in the letter that she wrote and sent out in mass mailing, our middle schools are approaching their capacity, and of course, David Douglas High School is the largest high school in Oregon with more than 3,000 students. Yet we continue to grow. Population growth experts predict that David Douglas School District will add another 3,000 students over the next 10 to 20 years. We simply have no place to put these kids. So looking at a sunset clause for East Portland Action Plan and how that would, what that might look like, is really hard for me to integrate into my being. I'd love to see East Portland Action Plan become more of the city of Portland and more of the city being able to advocate for itself like that. I think having another paid advocate or five, but having more advocates in there so that that could work with and in the city to be able to leverage your investments and help the city grow, because we're, you know, it's one of very few cities in the nation that are growing at such this rate, and it's mind-boggling. You know, we've got $800,000 houses across from Lowell Hirsch Park being torn down to build new ones. You know, this isn't Connecticut, I didn't think, but wow. Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Hi. My name's Adam Cole. I'm the executive director of Outgrowing Hunger. I've had a few interactions with Commissioner Fish and Commissioner Fritz in the past. We received the Spirit of Portland Award in 2013 for our work at the Neighborhoods Community Garden, which incidentally is one of the projects that was funded twice through the East Portland Action Plan. A lot's been said, and I wanted to focus on just a couple of things. First off is the incredible ability of the city to leverage its resources through this group, both in terms of outreach, effective outreach to rank-and-file community members, everybody on the street. We work with refugee families and immigrant families, about 90 families that are involved with our community garden. It was an 80,000-square-foot community garden. City gave us over 2 years $9,000. We leveraged that to over $60,000 to build this project and staff it over 2 years. The connections with other community groups, with other organizations that have made that possible, it just wouldn't have happened without the connections we've made through the East Portland Action Plan. And so my ability to connect with many, many people and refer them to a dozen other organizations, Community Alliance of Tenants, and others, to help them meet their own needs through community-based action just wouldn't be there without this part of the unique thing of East Portland. In terms of structure and ongoing, I think it is really important. The city has shown a lot of support in the past. I feel like one of the things that the city could add by bringing that into a permanent budget item is this both accountability and mentoring towards effective outcomes, saying we're going to work hard until we get our job done, and measurable goals to get there, and asking hard questions maybe on how money is spent, and having encouraging discussions at the community-based level of how can we be more effective, how can we be most effective, on top of the incredible leveraging of the city's resources that already exist out there. And then, of course, it's the convening role. I was at a meeting with Representative Chris Gorsuch, who represents Gresham, Rockwood area, earlier this week with all of the hunger organizations that are addressing East Portland, SNOCAP, Oregon Food Bank, Human Solutions, a handful of others. And the question that permeated the room was, how do you actually get people that we are serving involved with something to affect their own future? And I think the East Portland Action Plan does an incredible job of that, and it is truly a model that could be duplicated wherever the right mix of people and city willingness exists. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Okay, is there anyone else that wants to speak? If not, then let's take a motion, please, to accept the report.
Move to, so moved.
Second.
Further discussion? Then we'll take a council roll call vote on that.
Novick?
Well, clearly there's work we have to do in terms of figuring out how we're going to do that progress tracking, what the tracking will look like, how we pay for it, whether we're doing that in-depth assessment of where we are now. But that's work that we need to do. And again, I'd like to reiterate that I think that the list of things that we need to achieve in order for the purpose of the plan to be achieved is a great list, and it should be the basis for a lot of our work for many years, for hopefully not too many years to come, but for a number of years to come. Aye.
Fritz.
I envision a day in which people will say, well, you have to go to East Portland because you can't get anything done without East Portland. You know, we may be voting at some points on a transportation funding mechanism, and wouldn't it be great if people knew that they had to campaign in East Portland and that East Portland carried the day on that, because that's where much of the need is. So I really appreciate you being here today and your ongoing diligence in partnership with the city. I heard the word partnership a lot today, and that exemplifies both within the many different diverse communities within East Portland and then with the other areas of Portland and the City Council and your government. So thank you for being here today. I'm committed to getting that assessment done, providing that coordinating body, and figuring out how to move East Portland Action Plan into ongoing funding. Aye.
Fish.
Every year I get to say the same thing, which is this is one of the most successful community planning processes that I've been involved with during my 6 years. And I put it in the same category of the Cully Concordia Plan and a couple of other community conversations that actually moved the ball and didn't just sort of end up on a shelf. And in 2002, I remember that in a couple of local races for city council, I remember one of the key themes was people referred to East Portland as the Forgotten Portland. In fact, that was at the center of one candidate's campaign, and he ended up being elected to the council in 2002. I think it would be a stretch today to say East Portland is forgotten, because there's too much work that's been done building relationships, advancing shared values, building partnerships, and doing planning. I think now the challenge is moving forward and honoring the commitments we've made and building on a stronger foundation. And the truth is, there's been just a sea change. And, you know, you can see it in a new soccer field in Park Rose. You can see it in early childhood education program in David Douglas. You can see it in a expanded footprint at Leach Botanical Garden. You can see it at a new park in Gateway. You just go anywhere you go, there's something you can point to and say that this more robust community partnership has produced a win for people who live there. But the challenges are still so clear to us. 40% of the families with children live in East Portland, but disproportionate levels of poverty, disproportionate lack of opportunity, disproportionately not the kind of infrastructure that people should expect, and on and on. The mayor and Commissioner Fritz and I were at a lunch today in which a very eloquent pastor got up and, as part of his speech, posed the challenge of what kind of city do we want? And I thought it was a very beautiful way of sort of framing the question, what kind of city do we want? And I think clearly we want a city there where you get basic services and it doesn't depend on your zip code, where the quality of your child's education doesn't depend on which school they go to, and everybody has a chance to reach their full potential, among other things. And there's a lot of work to be done, and it's going to take a lot of time and dedication, but I really believe that this East Portland Action Plan has been responsible for some game-changing progress in East Portland. And I would hate to see us prematurely declare victory on any portion of it. I think we need to double down. And that's why I will continue to support the EPAP and the good folks in this room who volunteer their time to make it sing, and why I believe that we need ongoing funding so that you can continue this work into the future. Thank you for the report and all of your service to our community. Aye.
Hales.
Well, I want to thank all of you and our staff and this council discussion. You know, the word partnership got used a lot, and I want to refer to that and be very clear with you as our partner, because that's what partners ought to do. We put in this budget note to ask an open-minded question, which is: is this a short-term phenomenon? Is this a project that starts and stops in a couple of years, or is it an ongoing implementation effort? And I think we've asked and answered that question, both with what the staff brought forward and with your eloquent testimony, not just today, but throughout the EPAP's work. So I think we've answered that question. This is an ongoing effort. It should be in the budget. One of the prerogatives that I get as mayor, of course, is to propose the budget. And this discussion, I think, has illustrated where the consensus on the council is, and mine as well, and that is in the next one or two budgets, we need to move this funding from one time to ongoing. The only reason we're hedging our bet about that question is just as Commissioner Fish described, what's happening to our budget is it's gradually getting healthier. That shows up in the short term as one-time resources, and over time improves the base level of funding in the general fund. So it might not be in this next budget that we're able to accomplish that transition. But both because we've asked and answered the question and you've made the case, that's what we should do for you, our partner. We also need to do it, as I mentioned earlier, as a principle that this council has been very disciplined about: paying off debt and managing your money well, spending the money in the right budgets and the right categories, with people like Katie Arcel looking carefully at our budget at every step of the way, and then moving things onto the ongoing budget that are ongoing functions. And we're doing that. We're almost there. So I ask you to just bear with us a little bit. We're not hedging our bets because we're tentative about the partnership. We're just hedging our bets because we're trying to be financially realistic and spend money that we only actually have, rather than putting our Visa on our MasterCard. So, you know, over the next couple of years, clearly you've got the council ready to make that transition, and you've got a solid recommendation from Paul and Amalia and from all of you to do that. So that's going to happen. The other reason it needs to happen is that your activism needs to be focused on a really impressive and scary list of issues that need to be addressed. We're updating our comp plan. Big deal for East Portland and for everywhere else. Division Powell was mentioned. You know, if we don't move fairly quickly, we're going to, when we open the new light rail line next year, it's going to be the first time in a couple of decades that Portland doesn't have a transit project in the Federal Transit Administration pipeline. And that's a sin, as far as I'm concerned, whenever there's federal money on the table. So the Division Powell project is, in my opinion, a great idea. We need to, and I know Commissioner Novick feels this way as well, focus it, get a proposal on the table, try to move that quickly. We'll need your help. Parks, where next? How? You know, where in East Portland is the next target of opportunity that Commissioner Fritz and you and the Parks Bureau want to identify? One issue that just got mentioned in passing here, but it's huge. Where's David Douglas School District going to find the parcels that they need to build the next couple of schools on in a part of the city that's seeing a whole bunch of development right now? Big issue. We want you as activists and with this holistic view of East Portland as a community to help the district take that on, and Centennial and Park Rose as well, for that matter. Economic development, Katie quoted that article that I got interviewed about. We are tasking PDC with their next 5 years of strategic planning right now. And I've told them, in my opinion, PDC has three missions: building the city, creating jobs, and spreading prosperity, which is very much the idea of the Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative in some of these specific districts like 122nd and Division, where we've tried some new tools. We're going to need your help in figuring out what's working, what's not working, where should we try it next. So there's all this substantive stuff that's on the table. where we really want your activism focused, and we appreciate your advocacy for the budget. It's obviously worked, and we want you to put that energy into helping get these really critical tasks done. So I'm glad that the institution of EPAP as a citizen body is as sound as the list of things that you have to work on, because you're going to need all that volunteerism to address all these really important community questions. So looking forward to your continued partnership in all that work. There will be times when we agree. There will be times when we disagree. That's the democratic process. That's great. You're really helping make it rich and real in East Portland. So thank you all very much. Aye. And let's take a